Hello, my name is Fletch Matlack, and I'm the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in New Hartford, and I'm your pastor for the day. On this Good Friday, we stand beneath the cross and listen carefully to the words of Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, darkness falls over the land from noon until 3 in the afternoon. Then, in that darkness, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Those words are not random. They are not the desperate, disoriented cries of a man losing control. They are the opening lines of Psalm 22. And that matters. Psalm 22 was written centuries before the crucifixion. King David begins it with an anguished, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He speaks of mockers surrounding him. He describes hands and feet pierced. He says his bones are out of joint. His heart melts like wax. His garments are divided and lots are cast for his clothing. It reads almost like an eyewitness account of Good Friday. When Jesus cries out those opening words, he's not merely expressing pain. He is identifying himself as the righteous sufferer of Psalm 22. He is saying, in effect, this psalm is about me. The bystanders misunderstand him. They think he is calling for Elijah. But Jesus is doing something far deeper. He is interpreting his own death through Scripture. And what does Psalm 22 reveal? First, it reveals real abandonment. "Why are you so far from saving me?" David writes. And on the cross, Jesus truly experiences forsakenness, not because he sinned, he is spotless, but because he is bearing sin. The Holy Son of God stands in the place of sinners. He takes upon himself the guilt of his people, and in that moment, he experiences the judgment sin deserves. But Psalm 22 does not end in despair. Halfway through the psalm, the tone shifts. The suffering one declares that God has heard him. He speaks of deliverance. He speaks of the ends of the earth remembering and turning to the Lord. He speaks of future generations being told that he has done it. That final phrase, "he has done it," it could also be translated, "it is accomplished." And that brings us to Jesus' final declaration. According to the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 30, just before he died, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Not "I am finished," not "this is finished," but "it is finished." The work the Father gave him to do, finished. The debt of sin, paid in full. The cup of wrath, drained to the last drop. On the cross, Jesus moves from the anguish of Psalm 22's opening to the triumph of its ending. The forsaken one becomes the victorious king whose suffering brings salvation to the nations. And notice, both statements, my God," and "it is finished," are loud cries. Matthew tells us Jesus cried out with a loud voice before yielding up his spirit. Crucifixion victims usually fade quietly into death, but not Jesus. He does not die as a victim overcome by weakness. He dies as a savior completing his mission. The cross is not confusion, it is completion. The cross is not tragedy, it is triumph. When Jesus quotes Psalm 22, he anchors his suffering in God's redemptive plan. When he declares it is finished, he announces that plan is fulfilled. And what was finished? The punishment that brings us peace. The sacrifice that satisfies divine judgment. The barrier between God and sinners torn down. On Good Friday, we do not merely witness sorrow, we witness accomplishment. The righteous sufferer of Psalm 22 has done what he came to do. And because it is finished, there's nothing left for you to add. You cannot improve upon a finished work. You can only receive it. So this Good Friday, hear both cries from the cross. Hear the depth of love in my God, why have you forsaken me? Hear the certainty of salvation in it is finished. And if you will trust in the crucified and risen Christ, what was finished at the cross becomes for you life. And that is very good news. My name is Fletch Matlack, and I'm the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in New Hartford, and I'm your pastor for the day.